for Brother Allen's service. I open with hymn number 88. Hymn number 88, Here Is No Rest. And the first two verses only. We're going to close with verse 3 and 4. So the first two verses only. Hymn number 88, Here Is No Rest.
Was it 82?
82.
No, two verses.
88. Sorry. Verses 1 and 2. Is that the... This is right? This is correct, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
I've asked Brother Albert Schwab to open in prayer.
Dear gracious, loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Dear Father, as we bow before thee at the throne of grace this morning, we do thank thee for all thy love, all thy kindness, and all thy benevolence towards us. We do thank thee for the privilege we have to walk this narrow way. And we thank thee for all thy overruling providences in our life. We do thank thee for the truth. We thank thee for the insight into thy plans and purposes. And we thank thee for the promises that thou gives us to encourage us along in this narrow way. We do thank thee for our return, Lord, and we thank thee for the restitution blessings that have followed. And now, dear Father, we thank thee that we are able to gather and to bless, we ask thee to bless Brother Allen as he breaks the bread of life to us. Open our hearts and minds that what we may hear this morning may edify us in this most holy faith. Do bless all thy dear children the world over, and do forgive us where we come short. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Albert and Sister Evelyn on the piano. So we continue with our symposium. Pleased to have Brother Allen Springer. Well, this will probably needs no introduction to any of you. And we continue with the subject, prophecies currently being fulfilled to bring in the kingdom. And this now regarding the world.
Some of you heard me say this before. If I could choose any period in history, not just human history, but the history of the universe, if I could pick any period of time in which to live, I'd pick now. Now, you can ask me during the break why I would choose that over the time when Jesus was here, when Brother Russell was here. But I have reasons that are personal to me, and I would pick now. You know, there's a place, and I can't state it as eloquently as Brother Russell states it, but he talks about the time in which we're living. And he says it's here that all of the prophetic beams of light converge. And that's beautiful. And that's more true for us today than it was 100 years ago. So, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about Israel or whether we're talking about the world or specifically the church. It all ties into the church because it is all prophecies that we see being fulfilled, and that's what this section is all about. We want to see evidences that prophecies are being fulfilled, and that affects us, the Lord's people, more than anyone else because they don't see it, as we discussed yesterday. And why? Why do we want to see those prophecies fulfilled, and what do they tell us? They tell us that the kingdom is being established. I think that's kind of the bottom line for this whole convention and this symposium. So if that's the only thing we can remember, and then we can go home and say, okay, I want to search out some of those beams. And you know, we can't do that in an hour or a weekend or a year. There are so many of them. So we're going to try to touch on a few. And we do want to say that some of these have already been touched on in this convention. And Brother West laid a good foundation for many of them. And I think some of them will probably be touched on in later sessions, today and tomorrow. But we'll just mention one, and that's the message to Laodicea, which is in Revelation chapter 3. And that relates to us. That is the time period in which we are living. And I think that's abundantly proven when we look at that message. And if you look at Revelation 3:14 to the end of that chapter, and you look at the points that are being made there, it's not simply describing the nominal church. It's describing threats. It's describing dangers that are pertinent to all of us, and we need to be aware of that. But it also should be an encouragement to us because we can see clearly that we are in Laodicea. And we know that the prophecies are being fulfilled. And if we look at the message that's given there, we know that that message was to be delivered by the seventh angel. And all you have to do is look at his writings, and there it is. There's nobody else that qualifies. We talked enough about that yesterday, perhaps, but we want to underline that. Because that proves to us he was God's messenger. He's the only one that could be the seventh messenger. He's the only one that qualifies for all those points there and in other places. And so there you have your scriptural authority, and the rest is just read the volumes. Read the writings of Brother Russell, and it's all laid out there. So that gives the burden to you, brethren. You got to do the rest of this symposium at home. But certainly, when we look at the times in which we're living, Brother West touched on this, you know, Laodicea, the time period, it's lukewarm, it's pride, it's a self-serving society. Certainly we see that. Those are evidences of where we are living, those are dangers which we face, and those are things which we have to overcome. And we follow the advice that's given in that message. In few words, buy the gold tried in the fire, the white raiment, the eye salve. And Brother Russell tells us how to do those things in Volume 6. Now, there's a lot more that could be talked about. But the point is, we see these things being fulfilled. It should be an encouragement. It should strengthen us. It should help us to overcome them. Now, as we go through our lesson concerning the world, it's important to realize that all these things affect us. And so that is a tie-in, as we stated before. All these things tie together. You can't really separate them totally. And what we want to look at, again, is prophecies that are being fulfilled that are a proof to us that the kingdom is being established. And I believe in that process concept, and I believe that it had its beginning at our Lord's return, and it progresses, and we are very, very close, closer than when we first believed. We want to focus on a prophecy that's given in Jeremiah 1:10. It's also something similar stated in Jeremiah 18:7 and Jeremiah 31:28. Jeremiah 1:10, Jeremiah 18:7, Jeremiah 31:28. And they all give the same concept. And I believe this is talking about our Lord, our returned Lord. See, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. And so what do we see there? What's the concept? The concept is that you have two works going on simultaneously, but they're exactly the opposite, but they're accomplished by one tool. And I believe that that tool is the truth, primarily, and the Lord working in the earth. So you see a destructive work on the one hand, and you see a constructive work on the other. And both of those are so important in order for us to understand the kingdom and the fact that the kingdom is being established. It is too easy for us sometimes to just look at the climax, the end result, and say, peaceable kingdom and everything is beautiful. Well, when is everything going to be perfect and beautiful? So I hear end of the thousand years. Well, that's, you know, really you could say end of the little season would be even more correct. Well, it'll all be perfect at the end of the thousand years. Couldn't turn it over to God if it wasn't. But the test of the little season is that final stamp of approval. Then everything is perfect in harmony and so on. The thousand years, we know it starts out with this destructive phase as well as some constructive aspects. And so it shouldn't surprise us if we see these things. And there's a lot more that could be said about this, but we got to move on. But concerning the destructive, we're talking in the fore part of the establishment of the kingdom, what is it destroying? It's destroying systems. It's destroying systems. And you know that comment in the fourth volume forward, we talk about systems and principles, not individuals. And that's what the Lord's judgment is upon now, since his return. He's judged those systems. He started with the nominal house of God, and after 1914, he proceeded with the nations. And it's described in four ways: a rooting out, a pulling down, a destroying, and a throwing down. And the Lord doesn't waste words. And each one of these, though they might seem similar, they're all different and they're all important and significant. I may not have it exactly right, but you can verify it at home. Rooting out, to me, the essence here was it's something you pull out by the roots. Now, if you've ever done any gardening, or if you're trying to get those nasty dandelions out of your yard, which, by the way, I don't think they're nasty, but you can ask me about that in the break, too. But anyway, if you're going to get rid of it, what do you have to do? If you cut a dandelion, you just snap it off the top, comes right back very quickly. And if you let it go until those beautiful little yellow flowers turn into that white puffy stuff, then what happens? Well, you don't just have one dandelion, you got a lot of them. So what's the Lord's eradication program for these systems? He's going to pluck it up by the roots. And if you look at Malachi 4:1, it goes even further. He says, "The day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." So he gets the top, he gets what's under the earth, and he burns up the seeds too, because it's a fire. And that's really the only way you can be absolutely sure that you get it all. And that's what he's going to do. It's not enough to remove those systems superficially. You have to change the mindset of the people who are part of those systems, who support those systems. And we see evidences of that. And so I believe that it is an evidence that, yes, the Lord is preparing for that. I believe we see evidences that people all over the world are doing something. They are demanding the kingdom. I believe that's what they want. You know, they don't know that's what they want. But Romans 8 tells us that. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, and they're waiting for the kingdom. And they're starting to demand the kingdom, and the Lord is permitting that because he knows the systems can't deliver, and so they're going to kindle the fire that burns them up and roots them out and tears them down and all these other expressions. Pulling down. This expression means demolishing a structure. And we believe that it might be especially fitting to the concept of destroying the power of a government. Because again, we're talking about systems. And it is the people who are doing this. It's the people who have been doing this since the Gentile times ended, especially. They destroyed each other. They're the ones who put an end to the divine right of kings. They're the ones who annihilated each other and really brought about a sentiment that said, this is not God's kingdom. And so we see the mountains have become hills to a large extent already. How many mountains are left in the world politically? And even the hills have begun to melt. And you know these expressions from Nahum 1:5, Isaiah 54:10. Nahum 1:5, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Isaiah 54:10, for the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Destroying. This is the third expression from our Jeremiah 1:10 text. Destroying. It means to destroy utterly, even so much as to remove the memory of something, if you see other places in which it's used. And it has to do with executing judgment. And that's fitting, because we believe this is the day of judgment. And that's what's going on. And to destroy the memory, it's important to recognize here that we do have those passages of Scripture, for instance, in Revelation, that say the smoke of them will ascend up forever, and that they will be tormented forever. And the word tormented, was, we were speaking with some of the brethren earlier this weekend, it means put to the touchstone. So the lessons of that will remain forever. But the memories of those systems, the things which the Lord is doing away with, will be annihilated, utterly destroyed. And then the fourth negative or destructive concept is throwing down, to cast down absolutely. And the added thought here is there is no hope of reconstruction. No hope of reconstruction. That's an important aspect. All right, so we have these four destructive aspects which we've identified from this prophecy. And I believe that we see evidences that these things are happening today, especially since 1914. Then you have the constructive aspects which are mentioned here. And again, we can't emphasize enough the importance of seeing both of these things going on simultaneously as evidences that the kingdom is being established. It's part of that process, the overlapping period that's shown on the chart. Building and planting. There was, I don't know if it was in a reprint article or in just looking at analysis in a lexicon concerning this word, building here, this word building, it's the same word that God used to describe the fashioning of Mother Eve from a rib. And I don't know, that just kind of added a little dimension to me. It's also translated rebuild, and it reminds us of the concept of restitution as well. It can also be used in the sense of causing a household to flourish. Well, now that's a nice concept, and it helps us to differentiate. In fact, all of these help us to differentiate between the destructive processes, which are only concerning systems. Because these expressions have more to do with the human race. The forming of Mother Eve, you know, that's a personal kind of thing. It's not a refashioning of a system. It's the refashioning or the bringing back of the human race to perfection. the rebuilding process, the restitution. It's going to restore those things which were lost in the Garden of Eden. And causing a household to flourish. Well, which household is it? It's the family of God that will be on this planet, the perfected human family. That's all having to do with establishing the new kingdom. And the word planting is similar. And it has the idea of establishing a people. Establishing a people. And do we see any evidences of that? Where does that begin? Where would we expect that to begin? And what did Brother Wes bring to our attention? The establishing of a people, a kingdom process, begins with Israel. And you can't deny it. That's been going on now for some time. So all of these are prophecies of things going on in the world that prove to us that the kingdom is being established. You can call it a preparatory work if you wish, but I think the concepts are the same. So let's try to connect these with other symbols and prophecies that show the two aspects as they relate to current events. And perhaps the best of these has to do with the time of trouble, because I think we all agree that the time of trouble has begun. It's unprecedented, meaning it never happened before, and it's unparalleled, meaning it will never happen again. And we see that. You know, when World War I started, you know, it wasn't called World War I. It was called the Great War, because there'd never been anything like it. Well, you know, it didn't stop in 1917. There was an armistice. And Brother Russell had the foresight to see that it wouldn't stop because of the lack of men to kill or be killed. What did he say? He said it would stop because of financial reasons. Now, this whole thing of finance has come more prominent into our thinking lately because we've become more sensitive to it. But yet, Brother Russell saw it from the very beginning, way back there, more than 100 years ago. He knew that finances would play a very important role. He knew that economic disaster would be one of the key elements of Armageddon, the climax. So we have this time of trouble, which I believe started in 1914 in connection with the ending of the Gentile times, and Elijah was given a vision of this. He saw it beforehand, and I believe that what it's intended to show in the fulfillment of it, we as the Elijah class, and I think we have evidences of that, we can prove that. It's a first-hand type because it's mentioned as such in many places in the scriptures, that he's a picture of the church. And what was it intended? What was the purpose of that vision? Why did the Elijah class, the true church, see the time of trouble before it happened? It was an encouragement to them. You remember the circumstances of Elijah at that time. He was discouraged. He didn't know what was going on. He thought he was all alone. And so the Lord gave him this vision. And the Lord gave the Elijah class a clear picture of the coming time of trouble before it happened. And you and I have the privilege of seeing how it has unfolded since 1914. You know the vision. You've seen it. And it's recorded there for us in 1 Kings 19, 11, and 12. And God speaking to Elijah, he says, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Or as Luther's German translation puts it, the voice of Eden. Well, that's where God is. And he's not in those previous stages. Why? Because he lets the people tear down the systems and cause the destruction. But it shows those three phases. It shows that the time of trouble is a period, a process, that one step leads to the other. And war naturally leads to revolution. Revolution naturally leads to anarchy. Now, there's different ways that brethren look at this. And I don't know that the finer points are all that important. As long as we see the big picture, that we see that the time of trouble started and is going on. I believe that the wars didn't stop. They continue on and will to the end. And then at some point, the second one, the revolution phase started, and it goes in spasms and continues on to the end. And finally, anarchy. And anarchy is what closes it out. But all of these come in spasms. And tied together with this, again, is the financial aspect. And we find that in Ezekiel 7:19. It will reach the point where, quote, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. Well, we'll touch a little bit more on the meaning of this in a practical sense momentarily. But it is significant that the climax of the time of trouble is tied again to an economic aspect. That's kind of the destructive part. Phone's ringing. Somebody hear that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my wit isn't quick enough to make something out of that. I'd like to. You know, maybe that's a wake-up call for all of us. Read the signs of the times. Pay attention. That's what we need to do. Okay, that's the destructive. The time of trouble, it's destroying the old order. It's getting rid of that vile, terrible system of things which has been every man's hand against his brother eventually, but from the beginning it's been brother against brother, Cain and Abel. From the very start it was that way. Man's inhumanity to man. And nowhere can we see that more prominently displayed than it was in the Holocaust. And Brother Wes, again, that was his subject, part of it. But there's a positive aspect which is going on at the same time. You have this building up in the planting. And we can talk about the times of restitution. Now, I think it's important that we make a distinction between restitution as a general concept and personal physical restitution on an individual basis, which can only come under the new covenant. Now, some brethren focus more on one than the other. And maybe there's some unnecessary heat that's generated in our discussions on such subjects. But we all agree that the personal, physical restitution on an individual basis is in the future under the new covenant. But I believe that we see some general evidences since our Lord returned of a restitution process. What does that mean? Well, Brother Russell talked about this. He mentions several things. And, of course, the most prominent one is Brother West's subject. So we won't cover it again. But that's Israel. That's where you would expect it to begin. And you know, the most famous text that we quote concerning restitution, it's Isaiah 35, right? And the wilderness shall, or I shouldn't try to quote it from memory when I'm up here and I'm free. Well, that's the phrase that's the most important. The desert blossoms as the rose. Wilderness and the solitary place, and it talks about that. But when that phrase, the desert shall blossom as the rose, most of you know where I'm going with this. It's not the generic word for desert. It's a specific desert in Israel. It's the Aqaba. And before that, it was a desert before Israel came back again. And they went there and they planted. And what do you suppose are some of the things they're growing there? They're growing roses there. And they're growing citrus fruit there. And they're exporting it to Europe. Well, those things are evidences to me that the Lord has returned. He's working with Israel. Favor has been restored to them. Not totally. But I believe that it is a part of a restitution work which applies not to the individuals but to the planet. Jesus purchased planet Earth, not just the human race. And I think that that is shown in two places. It's shown by his blood going down to the earth while he was on the cross. And I think it's also shown in the tabernacle when the blood was poured out at the base of the altar. And there's other evidences. But I believe that Jesus purchased the earth, and I believe that's a separate transaction from his purchase of the human race, actually purchases Adam and the human race through them. He hasn't yet performed that part of the divine plan, which will initiate bringing Adam back and his race from the dead. That's that new covenant aspect. But he purchases the earth, and I think that he has the right, as soon as he returns, to start working with the earth, and he starts there in Israel, and it's gradually going to spread to the whole earth, because that's not dealing with people, that's dealing with things. And also, you remember the curse upon Adam, as given in Genesis 3. It's probably good for us to review that, because if restitution is reversing the curse, then we would want to see what's identified there and see what are there evidences that there's some movement in that direction. And once again, it's a process, and it's not finished till the end of the 1,000 years. So we would want to be looking for some evidences of the start of that. And that's what, again, this subject is about, evidences, proofs to us that there's something happening. In Genesis 3:16-18, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So what are the key points here? Well, there's pain in childbirth. And I realize that this is not a global thing. You know, there's still an awful lot of people, more than half of the people, close to two-thirds of the people, don't have enough to eat. So there's still a lot to be done. But we see evidences. We see movement in along these lines, and pain of childbirth is one of them. There are possibilities today, medical possibilities, that didn't exist 150 years ago. And then you have this expression, thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And I can't help but think about women's rights. And of course, you know, things are used and things are abused, but this is a marked indicator to us, and we see this in our day, since Brother Russell's day in particular. And it continues, and it expands beyond just women's rights. But I think it fits into this category. And then you have the sweat of face. Well, every time I think of this sweat of face scripture here, I think about seeing a farmer in Kansas in an international harvester. And it was in his cab with his headphones on and the air conditioning on. And, you know, he's no longer harvesting his crop with the sweat of his face. He's got air conditioning. And once again, that's not true worldwide, but it is happening, and it's an indicator. Now, if you look at the photodrama, and there's a couple of reprint articles as well. Reprint 3184, there's a heading, Preparations for the Millennium. And reprint 5159, The Deluge Effect. And the photodrama, page 91. And there, Brother Russell, he points out that he felt that the ice caps would eventually melt. Well, I believe that they are melting. You know, the causes are not important to me. I realize that there's all kinds of controversy associated with that subject. But Brother Russell thought they would melt, and I think it's logical because they weren't permanent. You know, all that water got dumped on the poles from outer space, the canopy, when it fell. And it wasn't there to start with, and it wasn't intended to stay there forever, and I think it's going to melt. And I think that that is something that the Lord has in mind. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to have things like they were before the flood. That won't happen, because of God's covenant, the rainbow covenant with Noah. It can't happen again. But I think that it will be, as Brother Russell suggests, less severe, less radical changes than what we have today. But there will always be seasons. Winter and summer, seed time and harvest, as long as the earth abides. So those are some things which are additional evidences which we look at as being constructive. You know, the world doesn't look at those things necessarily as being constructive. They're really worried about this. And they don't understand that it's God who's doing these things. Puny man isn't doing these things. We know that the world is currently receiving lessons that are both educational and preparatory to their future role. Now, maybe that's a phrase you haven't heard before. The world is being prepared educationally for their future role. The world has a future role. You know, we tend to focus on our future role, and that's appropriate. Jesus is at the top of that big pyramid over there, and the church is underneath him, but, you know, that's not where it ends. It goes all the way down to plain end. And you've got ancient worthies, you've got Israel, and you have the whole world of mankind. You're going to have billions of people. We don't know how many. I kind of like 144,000 squared, but we'll see. But we're going to have billions of people, and all of those people will have passed through the permission of evil. They will have been educated with experience that will never be permitted again. And it's true that the church plays the most prominent role, but I believe that even the world of mankind will have a special place in the ages to come. Brother Russell suggests this. It's only a suggestion. It's only an opinion. The scriptures don't say very much about it. But it really appeals to me that perhaps people from this planet will go to other planets. Just like you have guides at a Holocaust museum. Well, what's the best ones you can have for guides? The ones who've been through it. And so you have some human beings who go to another planet, and the planet is starting to be inhabited, and however way the Lord's going to do that, and they're going to share their experience with the permission of evil. And in such graphic detail that no one will ever want to have anything to do with that. But we see evidences of this. The Lord now, in our time, is permitting anything and everything. He's allowing mankind to try everything they can. And he's allowing them to fail. And that's very important, because they need to come to that position. We had to come to that point in our lives where we were not relying on ourselves, we had to rely on the Lord. They're being prepared to gain everlasting life. And we see those evidences around us today more than ever before in human history. Another proof to us of the times in which we're living. Okay, current events and trends as they fit into God's kingdom project. I like that way of describing it. Current events and trends as they fit into God's kingdom project. And it is. It's a project, isn't it? It's a huge project. The biggest one that ever was or ever will be. And it is both destructive and constructive at the same time. This is the same thing we've been talking about for the last half an hour, and we just want to continue on with some additional thoughts in this connection. And once again, we want to tie in with our place in all of this, because we're in the world, we're not of the world, but we're affected by it. And it can be either constructive or destructive to us. And that's up to us individually, how we deal with it, how we work with these things. There's that old trite expression, the ship's okay in the ocean as long as the ocean's not in the ship. And Brother West touched on this. We need to be very sure at the times in which we're living that those influences, which the pressure of those influences in the world are growing stronger and stronger all the time, that we don't allow those things to influence us as the Lord's people. But sadly, we do see evidences of the fact that they are influencing the Lord's people, and that touches on some of the scriptures that were already mentioned, and in particular the perilous times from 2 Timothy chapter 3. We see that happening. We see it in the world, and we see evidences of it in the church, and those are things that we have to repel. Okay, we're just going to look at five different areas here and see how they tie in with our subject. Internet and cloud computing. And these are things that were suggested by the brethren here. It was very interesting to us to look at them. The internet and cloud computing. And it's that last one particular which is it's interesting. It's bringing the world closer together, closer than it's ever been before. You know, now it is instantaneously possible for anything anywhere in the world to be known all over the world. That was never true in human history, and I can't imagine that it could be any quicker than that. In the future, it's going to be more accurate, and it won't be so nasty, some of the things you see there. But it is bringing the world closer together. But there is both a constructive and a destructive aspect to this. The destructive is, it's making the world more interdependent than they have ever been before. And it's amazing to me that they are really kind of backing themselves into a corner. They're putting themselves into a very dangerous position, because all it takes is one little incident and it can all go away overnight. And that could be any of a number of things, natural disasters or otherwise. But we know that the Lord is doing that. And we think of Zephaniah 3:8. And this is a fulfillment, I believe, of that prophecy in part. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. That is the destructive aspect. And it's a fire. It's that same fire we looked at, was mentioned in Malachi and other places. But notice what the Lord does. He gets them all in one place. And, well, that's real convenient. I just pour a little bit here and it's done. And it would be like if you have an anthill and you're trying to get rid of all the ants. They're all in one place and you get rid of them all at once. And that's kind of what the Lord is doing. And it's not just God's wrath that's manifested there. It's also His mercy. A short work will He make upon the earth. He doesn't make the severe features of the time of trouble any longer than absolutely necessary for mankind to learn the lessons. And it's part of His economy to make this interdependence that we see through the internet and cloud computing, which of course is the aspect of information. But we also benefit from this. We're benefiting from it. Right now, I see all the computers that are on the tables, and I don't know how many are online right at the moment, but there were as many as 50 connections yesterday.
60.
Just went to 60. Well, those are wonderful blessings. You know, we can use those things. They're so easily abused, and we have to be so careful. But we're thankful that the Lord has opened up this possibility. But I believe it's a sign of the times. One world economy. Again, we get into the financial aspect. Of course, that's been very prominent in the brethren's thinking because of the events that have been taking place in recent times, 2008 in particular, with the repercussions still being felt today. There is no country in the world that I can think of that is economically independent, even though they would like to be. There's no country which is economically independent. Maybe there's some small island someplace. I don't know. But it's all part of this same concept, that the Lord, He brings them all together so that He can destroy it all together, and simply so. We know it's headed for destruction. And again, Brother Russell saw that over 100 years ago. And the symptoms that we see of that is investment in precious metals. But as we already read in the prophecy, there'll come a time when that won't do them any good. Even throw that into the street. When I was growing up, price of gold was $35 an ounce. And it peaked at $1,750 an ounce, which is 50 times as much. And who knows where it will go. But that is just a symptom of the times. It shows the instability of the economic system. And we won't go into depth on this, but I still believe that what Brother Russell points out concerning the demonetization of silver is a very important factor. It's not just ancient history. The repercussions from that continue to our day. Freedom and democracy. This is a big one. This is a really big one. Of prophecies being fulfilled in the world that indicate to us that things are changing. Preparations for the full establishment of the kingdom, and I believe evidences that our Lord is here and doing this. You've heard these statements before, that in 1914, I believe, it was approximately 70 nations in the world, and that that number had remained steady for a long period of time. Well, how many nations are there today? I don't know. It's probably different today than it was yesterday. That's how quickly these things are changing. But there's hundreds. There's hundreds of nations today. And most of that has to do with those former colonial powers by necessity, because of the voice of the people, having to let loose their hold upon those colonies in Africa, and especially, but other places as well. And all of them have become independent nations. And it's hard to have a discussion about Europe without using the word former. Former Soviet Union, former Czechoslovakia, former Yugoslavia. They're all formers because they got split up into smaller countries. That is an indication of freedom and democracy. We know from the scriptures, and Brother Russell taught us, that all the autocratic regimes would face revolution and destruction. We saw a lot of that, and one of them where we didn't see it, and always made me wonder, well, what about all those Arab countries? You know, they had those autocratic regimes. But that's changing, isn't it? They call it the Arab Spring. We don't know where it's going. We don't know where it's going, and time will tell. But those autocratic regimes, they're all being toppled. And they all have to be toppled. The natural question, and we don't like to try to project future events, except in a very general way, but the natural question would be, what about China? And are they going to have their Arab Spring? Well, if they have any kind of similar thing happen in China as what happened in these other countries, it's probably going to be tied to the economy. Because really, that is what it was tied to in those Arab countries. The people said, we want freedom, we want liberty, because we want to have a better lifestyle like the Americans have. Now, they don't know that that's not a panacea. But, you know, they'll learn. They'll find out, and they'll be dissatisfied. Of course, then it goes to the next step. Revolution, anarchy. But there is a lot of cooperation and unification for mutual protection, and those are evidences that those systems are reaching the extremes, and they're afraid. But there is this global desire for economic prosperity, but imperfect mankind is not capable of using freedom or economic prosperity properly. And so it just feeds onto the destruction of the present system. And we see this. We see it. How wise it was for our Heavenly Father not to just let everything end in 1914. We can look back now and see that. It was a big disappointment to the brethren, and sadly it's still a big disappointment to some. But not to us, if we see it properly. Because we see the necessity that God had to allow them to try everything they can try and to let it fail. Cheap and rapid travel. Well, I think a lot of us benefit from that as much as we're able. I sure do. running to and fro like never before. So that's something that we can use. That's something, and I really believe that's not just an accident. I do. I believe that the Lord has allowed some of these things to develop. The communications, the travel, and other things like that. I think that it's for the benefit of the Lord's people at the time when they need it the most. But He orchestrates it in such a way that it also provides a destructive force in society for those that can't use it properly. So we benefit from the running to and fro and the increase of knowledge. And we believe that the rapid spread of knowledge is probably a preparation for what the ancient worthies are going to do in the kingdom. We don't know, but they're going to have global communication. And there'll be global communication. Probably better than what we have now. We don't know, but it'll be there. And maybe these things are all just setting it up. That'll be some kind of Twitter revolution. A good one. But along with rapid travel and increase of knowledge, there is the rapid spread of disease and terrorism. Bad ideologies and bad viruses and microbes. They spread very quickly. And that's something that only the kingdom can solve. You know, the world, they don't know. They're reaching their wits' end on this aspect too. They don't know what to do with these superbugs that are developing, but they are learning a hard lesson because those superbugs, for the most part, came about by their misuse of previous prescription drugs. Hard lessons. English as a universal language. And this is the last of 5 points under this subheading, Current Events and Trends as They Fit into God's Kingdom Project. English as a universal language. It's an indication that knowledge is increasing as never before, but that's only knowledge. You know, this computer can have a lot of knowledge stored in it, but we would never say that the computer has understanding, much less wisdom. We talked about that yesterday a little. But the point is, in the Messianic Kingdom, language will no longer be a barrier, and what we see today is perhaps a preparation for that work. Another evidence to us that things are happening, both in a constructive and a destructive way. When we look at this subject, and in trying to summarize in the few minutes that are remaining, it's very important that we do as Brother Russell did and as the Bible does, and that is to have a global perspective. To have a global perspective is one aspect. To realize that prophecy is bigger than the United States. And I didn't realize that I had a mindset until I went to other countries and talked to the brethren there. And it is true, the United States does have an important role, but it's not the only one. And in fact, our role going forward, the United States, is primarily a destructive trend. And we see evidences of that. And also we need to consider time in this same way. Time is bigger than our own lifetime. That is a lesson that was learned the hard way, generation after generation after generation. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they thought the promised seed was going to be in their lifetime. And, you know, Abraham the same, and with the apostles and Jesus the same. They all expected everything to happen in their lifetime. It doesn't work that way. We shouldn't be surprised if things take longer than we expect. And so the fact that it's been almost 100 years now since 1914, that shouldn't surprise us. It takes time. So, a little bit more on America's role going forward. The U.S. position towards Israel is a telling factor. I don't believe that there is a tit-for-tat comparison. Some brethren believe that, well, George Bush did this and God punished him because of this. Maybe there are some exceptions to that, but I look at it in a more general way, and I believe that it's valid, and you can see this general, gradual trend, and I would go all the way back to 1973 when Kissinger, a Jew, withheld help from Israel until it looked like they were going to be defeated. And finally, he had to give them help. He was playing political football with his own people, And since that time, gradually, the U.S. has been turning away from Israel, and we believe that the general prosperity of the United States has declined proportionately. And it's going to go down to rock bottom before it's over. Every ism has to fail, not because they're bad, but because they can't be implemented perfectly. And that includes capitalism, that includes democracy, because there's never been any pure form of government, and all current forms of government are based on selfishness and must be done away with. And the prophecy indicates, and Brother Russell points this out, that it is the Western world that will probably go into anarchy first. And we have to be prepared for whatever's coming in the future. So what's our reaction? Well, we go back to the theme text. Not like the world's reaction, not the hearts failing them for fear. But when we see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Well, brethren, they began to come to pass more than 100 years ago. I believe that. And we see dozens and dozens of evidences that they continue to come to pass, and the end is near, but it's not really the end. It's really only the beginning. And may the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Allen. Covered a lot of ground. Your eyes see, perhaps some ideas to see a little more clearly from the thoughts of the discourse. I appreciate that very much. Thank you, Brother Allen. We'll close with hymn number 88. And after close, we'd ask Brother Allen to close in prayer and ask a blessing upon our lunch provision. Hymn number 88, verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4.
Most gracious, loving Father, once more we come before thee in the name of Jesus, our King, our present Lord. We are so thankful for the knowledge, the understanding that you have given us about the times in which we are living. Help us to apply that unto wisdom. We're grateful that you have allowed us to see your plans and purposes, and that we see evidences that our Lord has returned, that he is working in the earth. and that the full establishment of thy kingdom is near at hand. We pray that this might be an encouragement to us to be more faithful and to strive more diligently against the forces around us in the world, which are growing stronger every day. We're thankful for the robe of righteousness which covers us and for all the unseen helps which you provide. And we ask for thy continued blessing, not only for ourselves, but for thy people everywhere. And now please be with us in the meal before us, that you would help us to use the strength from the temporal nourishment, and that you would help us in our conversation one with another. We thank thee and praise thee and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.